Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hey everyone, I'm John Lynn, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today. We're excited to bring you another in our series of interviews with top leaders in health IT. And our guests today are Dr. Paulo Pino, he's Chief Medical and Strategy Officer at Discern Health, and Ben Shea, he's Vice President of Product at Discern Health. Welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Good to have you here. Excited for our discussion. Before we dive into the topic for today, maybe Paulo, you could start. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a physician by background, spent about 15 years practicing, full-time. Realized that my opportunity to kind of make changes in the healthcare system was very hampered. Wasn't able to do it sort of one patient at a time, and was really looking for an opportunity to sort of provide scale to the way healthcare was delivered. Spent some time early on in the employee health space, actually pivoted to do life insurance and sort of looking at life insurance to be a vector for health improvement, and then went out into the informatics space initially with my previous company, where we looked at multi-source, multi-format clinical data and really created semantic interoperability in that clinical data, and now with Discern Health. So happy to be here and to talk a little bit more about what we're doing.
Awesome. Ben, how about yourself? And tell us a little bit about Discern Health as well.
Sure. Ben Shea, I'm an actuary by background. And so
interesting.
Worked in life insurance for the first decade. In that capacity, did some predictive modeling for life insurance companies. And so predicting mortality, morbidity, and tying it to the financial outcomes of a life insurance company. The next decade has been kind of in the startup space. Okay. And so was most recently at a life insurance startup where we brought product from scratch to the market that did algorithmic underwriting. That's where I first exposed to electronic health records and the various vendors out there.
Interesting. And Discern Health?
Discern Health. So Discern Health, our team is made up of clinicians, data scientists, terminologists. And our mission is to leverage some experience that part of the team has had in longevity modeling to the healthcare space. And so a lot of the experience and expertise we've had with working with the various data sets, as well as having that clinical and data science collaboration and producing a product, we're taking that to the healthcare space.
Interesting. I mean, I think it's fascinating that both of you were in the life insurance space, because in a lot of ways, I think they do better modeling than a lot of us in healthcare, because it's literally the business is to understand the modeling and Discern Health, helps predict these health events before they happen. Ben, maybe you could start. What exactly does that mean, and how can that information improve care, and talk about who benefits from it?
Sure. Our goal and our objective is to be able to work with the various data sets, to be able to understand the nuances of all the data, and to be able to provide predictive insights in context and as well as in workflow for the healthcare space. And so how that actually looks is, we're not trying to replace a provider. We're not trying to be the ultimate decision. We're trying to be, augment workflows. And so our products, our risk scores, definitions, other kind of value-based outcomes, as far as the actual, customers that could benefit from it, we're looking for, working with payers, providers, as well as even health information exchanges to be able to bring that risk scoring capability into their workflows.
Interesting. Paulo, maybe you could add, what makes the Discern models unique, and how do you approach, providing a unique response to, the reality for most organizations, a very heterogeneous population?
Yeah, and I think in terms of the uniqueness, Ben mentioned that there's a really good, strong team of clinicians. So I lead a team of four other clinicians, one nurse practitioner or advanced practice nurse, and three nurses.
Okay.
And so they really help sort of that clinical validation. Our data science team has a strong sort of experience in modeling, clinical data and modeling health outcomes. And so that's, you know, particularly important. In terms of that collaboration, I think that's what really makes us pop. And that's what, you know, you don't want to produce models that don't have clinical explainability. You know, as
clinicians won't accept
no,
that.
No, clinicians won't accept it. I think we're all very comfortable with probabilism because that's how we make decisions.
Sure.
But, you know, when it's when the probability is, you know, abstract and it's black box and it doesn't have that explainability, I think it's a problem. And so part of my mandate when I came on was really looking at these models, you know, ensuring that there was nothing that was just purely a correlate, that there was actually causation associated with it. And as we think about some of the things that are going on, you know, from patients' right of access to their information, we want that clinical explainability. We want to be able to express that clinical explainability, say, hey, this makes clinical sense that, you know, this person had a fall, for example, and they were just started on a medication that has that as a risk factor false, right? We're not going to give you the secret sauce and tell you that, hey, this is how the model works to kind of embed this as a feature. But we can give you that feature as a, you know, in terms of, hey, this is one of the things that changed recently. Population is heterogeneous. I think it requires that every time that model be tuned to a particular population, it get the opportunity to relearn, and it get the opportunity to relearn continuous. We know that depending on, you know, demography, geography, you know, social factors, et cetera, there's gonna be different things among different populations that's gonna impact how that data is presented. And so really tuning that data and having a continuous audit process to see how the model behaves for the given population is, I think, of real importance. Because without that, you end up having an output of that model that's not necessarily actionable for that population.
Interesting. And I love your point. Someone pointed out to me, doctors are used to diagnosing with partial information. They do it. That's all they do. Yeah. So I think sometimes we forget it's not a perfect science yet. So that's interesting. Talk to us about some of the data sets that Discern uses for your predictive models. How are they built? You know, do you have some unique data sets or how are you approaching that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's the recognition that in order to really piece together a puzzle of someone's risk, you really have to be thoughtful about, you know, selecting a lot of data, right? And then being, you know, so having claims data is great. It has its limitations. Claims data is largely a representation of what a provider is required to document in order to bill, right? Not necessarily what they're required to document in order to provide care. Clinical data, I think, has a, you know, a certain robustness to it that claims data doesn't have. It tends to be more real time. It tends to be codified. Some of the challenges that have existed around interoperability and the fact that it's not fully solved makes it so that it's not as codified as we'd want it. And there's, you know, it's tough to basically have a binary outcome for something that may be very expansive, right? Have a black and white outcome for something that's gray. And so those are, I think, two of the biggest data sets. We also incorporate some social information as well into our models, both social data at a population level and then at an individual level. And then as we look at data, we understand that there's that data that's codified. It has a, you know, has a very clear, you know, vocabulary associated with it. You know, a diagnosis has an ICD-10, perhaps a clinical concept has a SNOMED, perhaps a lab has a LOINC. But at the end of the day, there's all of this very rich data that exists in the unstructured text. And so the way I think about it is that, you know, the structured text is really the nouns and the verbs. The unstructured text is really the adjectives and adverbs. And if you're looking to tell a full comprehensive story and you want to resonate and make it interesting, the adjectives and adverbs are important. So how do you take those, identify those correctly through some machine learning that exists, you know, through natural language processing, start to embed those to supplement the clinical data? Then you're really getting a full picture of that particular individual. Our organization's worked in the predictive modeling space for some time. I think that, you know, having that expertise is important. Having the clinical explainability of that expertise is, I think, how we will become more well-rounded and more comprehensive.
Interesting. I love the analogy of nouns and verbs and adjectives. Yeah, I speak Italian really well, but I don't speak Spanish really well. I can communicate, but I can't do the depthness of rich, which is exactly what you're describing about. I can order something, you know, so it's interesting. That's a really good analogy. It's interesting you mentioned interoperability as well. How does that impact your work? And And how do you guys approach interoperability and kind of providing value back to the industry?
Yeah, so I mean, some of it's through partnership, right? We're working with organizations that are that fully understand this. I don't think you can build a good model, or you can't, turn on artificial intelligence without having the data issues solved and having that interoperability piece solved. Look, I think that, you know, when Meaningful Use came out, it was an opportunity for a lot of different platforms to come to market. Unfortunately, each of those speak their version of Italian or Spanish, right? I think if you look at implementations, if you look at individual providers, and even if you look at patient levels, now you have dialectical changes that exist, even though the way of communication is consistent. The geography, the patient background, the provider background, the implementation tends to change the way that dialect is spoken. And so we understand that, you know, what we've done is, again, through partnerships, some through ourselves, we know the features that are important for each of the models. We've built out value sets that are interoperable so that they're captured appropriately by the models, both on the feature selection and on the outcome selection. Only when there's a consistent language spoken throughout that entire patient journey can you really compare apples to apples, given the different episodes of care that person has. So we do understand it's a challenge. We've been solving for that challenge. That which we can solve on our own, we're doing. That's that which we require partnerships, we're doing as well.
That's awesome. Ben, maybe chime in here about what organizations can most benefit from Discern Health. Who's kind of that sweet spot for you and where you can provide a lot of value, and maybe some recent collaborations that you've done?
Sure. We have recently, or currently are focusing in care management and value-based care applications specifically for payers. So we're getting traction in working with the claims data, working with the clinical data for payers and producing those outcomes. I think we've had an emphasis on providing our solutions in workflow, right? We're not trying to introduce a whole another platform to have to adopt and to embed into the existing processes. So a lot of focus on how do we fit into existing care management workflows. Similarly, we've also been working with just overall, cloud platforms with certain tooling and analytics platforms. How does our risk scoring module, fit into the outcome of how they've ingested data and normalized data? And so that's been a place for us as well. And then lastly, I think health information exchanges, we see a lot of opportunities there, similar to the care management and value-based care, but to, append ourselves to the data that their data pipelines, and being able to provide value and kind of out of the box value for that.
Interesting. Paula, tell us more about how you're trying to make it clinically relevant. You said, everyone talks about that, right? Like, it has to be clinically relevant, or what's the point? What do you do, and how do you integrate the medical expertise you talked about on your team into your product?
Yeah, so I think there are operational issues, in healthcare that I think a lot of, organizations are looking to solve. How do you improve, workflows? But unless you're looking at what those outcomes are, you're not really seeing the true value of any one solution, right? Yeah, it makes the process better, but does that process better ultimately lead to someone's health improvement? And I think that's a big piece of it. I think I've realized there point solutions in healthcare exist. This is not a point solution. It requires a lot of explainability to get people to buy into it. And it requires an ongoing, very consultative sale to get people to stay engaged in it and to have it be meaningful. In terms of the clinical piece of it, again, it's really establishing, this is the explainability of this model. These are the features that are associated with it. This is why this person's at risk. And these are the things that we feel could be actionable to help improve, mitigate that risk. You then can follow that trend over time to see if that risk truly has been mitigated and their outcome likelihood is improved. And so that's where I think the value is. You see the patient journey as a patient journey, not a set of discrete interval, episodes in time. Rather, their risk trajectory starts to kind of, ebb and flow with the things that happen in their clinical data. And I think that that's the explanation that you provide. You can explain to say, hey, look, this intervention was able to decrease that risk, right? But and we're intuitive. Like, for example, we have a falls risk model that can predict falls. We can speak to an organization and say, if you predict every one of these falls, this is what it's ultimately going to mean for you. We realize that most organizations, that even if they like provided the right research, right? But having a quarter or 10% is still a meaningful impact in terms of those individual lives and the cost of those individual untoward events. And so I think that that's really it. It can't be, you know, some random correlation. It has to be something that's explainable. It has to be something that has impact associated with it, because preventing something that doesn't have an impact from a morbidity, mortality outcome, or from a cost outcome really is not something that people are going to adopt.
Talk to us more about that, because I think that is a challenge, right? How do you assess the impact of these technologies on patient outcomes, you know, the benefits to the healthcare system? You know, how do you look at it, that individual patient? Do you look at it aggregate? You know, what do you consider a win for you and, you know, your customers?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what we've heard time and time again here, and I think is a conversation that happens, look, healthcare, it takes a village, right? And I think there's dynamic payment models that are changing. There's dynamic population trends that are changing. We're seeing, you know, workforce changes within the provider community that are going to change things. There has to be solutions that really benefit everybody in the ecosystem. I think for a patient and for a family, it's super important to have, you know, something actionable, because we know that caregivers that in the home environment are going to be a huge part of the workflow that exists for managing patients, right? You know, children and spouses and things like that that's going to be a huge aspect of healthcare. You know, you're going to decrease the financial burden on them. You're going to decrease the physical burden on them. You're going to decrease the emotional toll. You're going to allow people the opportunity to not only improve their lifespan, but also improve their health span, which I think is, you know, super, super important. On the payer side, on the provider side, obviously, I think all providers go to medical school not to document in electronic health records, but to really
make... It's not even trained in medical school.
Right, exactly. We're looking to improve outcomes, and we're looking to decrease burnout, and we're looking to really make impacts. We're looking to say, if we have an intervention, that intervention has, you know, improvement. That's a key piece. And I think when you look at it from a payer standpoint, it's all of those things basically in their ROI associated with it. What is the cost of administering care to someone who's had an untoward event, right? So if you fall or develop cognitive decline that's been unpredicted, you know, that's going to cost differently than if you were able to predict these and intervene earlier with something that's a lower cost intervention. So that's really important. I also think that payers are considering how this improves, you know, risk adjustment, how this improves HEDIS measure. Like, these are the values of predictive models that really just transcend, you know, multiple stakeholders and multiple sort of wins within those stakeholders.
Interesting. Well, it feels like Discern has too much work going on already, but Ben, give us a view into the future. Where do you see, you know, all this healthcare technology innovation and use of data going in the next few years?
I think everything comes back down to, you know, that one harmful health event can forever change the trajectory of that patient. And as we, you know, develop and roll out our products, we want to support, you know, the initiative. I think we all recognize, you know, the population is aging, the number of providers is decreasing. Where can a product and a solution like Discern Health play into that? And we know here at Vive, you walk around the show hall and you see all the other, you know, kind of thinkers and innovators trying to provide a solution there. I think for ourselves, you know, we have a library of risk models that we want to continue to clinically validate, to test, and as well as, you know, other initiatives that are in the background too, with the ingestion of data and how that crosswalks and the terminology there. And so those are kind of our focuses over the, you know, next few quarters, next few years. But overall, you know, how do we embed ourselves into an existing workflow to actually change outcomes?
Interesting. Yeah, I describe it as we're Christopher Columbus and we just discovered America, but we don't even know there's a South America. That's where we are with analytics and AI. That's my feeling. So Paolo and Ben, this is a really interesting conversation. I appreciate you taking time to talk with us and share your insights and perspectives. And thanks everyone for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcasting applications. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.